Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
I want to talk about the importance of expectation. We've been dealing with this topic on how to add patience to your faith. And I want to reiterate some things that we've said about hope, and I want to show you that it is by hope or expectation that our faith is fueled. You know, the enemy wants to leave all of us hopeless. If you're at a place right now in your life and there's something going on, and the enemy's an opportunist, and he'd love to hop on whatever it is that's going on in your life and leave you hopeless. Because hope is what fuels faith. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is what fuels faith. And biblical hope is expectation. It's hearing God's word and receiving hope, vision for the future. Psalms 130, verse number 5 says that his word gives us hope. Now, his word gives us hope because we can trust the word of God. God said in Numbers 23:19 that he's not a man that he should lie. What he spoke, he'll make good. What he says, he'll bring to pass. He said in Psalms 89:34, my covenant will I not break nor alter the words that have gone forth out of my lips. Jesus said in John 15:7-8, that if we would abide in him and his word would abide in us, we ask what we will and it is done unto us. God said in Isaiah 55:11, my word shall not return unto me void. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says all of God's promises are yea and amen. So as you hear the word of God, it builds up hope, and biblical hope is expectation. I begin to live a life where I'm expecting God's word to manifest in my life. I'm living in the hope of his promise. I'm living in the hope of his word. That's what fuels faith. Hope is needed for faith to exist. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if the enemy were to shipwreck your faith, he would have to begin with shipwrecking your hope, making you feel hopeless. And I know we've all had times in our life when we felt like there was no hope or what's the use. And it's at those moments that you don't want to apply discipline or commitment because you feel like it's all in vain anyway. Keep your hope alive, to keep your vision alive. God says here in Proverbs 23, verse number 18, for surely there is an end. That word end is translated reward. For surely there is a reward, and there is a reward. God's word says in Hebrews 11:6 that when we come to God, we must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God said, when you come to me, not only must you believe that I am God, you must believe that I'm a rewarder, that I respond to faith. And without faith, it is impossible to even please God, Romans 11:6. So he says here, for surely there is an end, or surely there is a reward, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. God's saying, whatever my word has led you to expect, but whatever my word has given you faith in for your life, your future, for eternity, for your marriage, for your children, for the kingdom of God being advanced in your life, whatever my word has given you hope in or faith in, I want you to know that that expectation my word has given you, I won't cut that expectation out of your life. I love what Hebrews chapter 12 says about Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's not just the author of my faith, he is the finisher of my faith. God is not a God that plays with our emotion. He's not a God that comes and delivers you a word in a dark moment in your life that gives you hope and gives you life and gives you faith and then plays with your emotion to never follow through and bring that word to pass in your life. If you're like me, there's been many occasions in your life where you felt like you couldn't make it and you weren't going to get through, and a word showed up and a promise showed up and God began to fuel your faith, and you knew no matter what the circumstances may have looked like, you knew that he was going to do what he said he would do. And even though the circumstances were bleak, all of a sudden faith began to rise up in you and the faith in your heart got bigger than the fear that was in your head, and you knew that that word had just come to you in an hour when you needed it. And I'm telling you, he's that kind of God. His word says that he has sent his word to heal us and to deliver us from all of our destructions. And if you've ever been at a place in your life when that word came and it didn't look like the circumstances had even changed in your life, but all of a sudden you walked out of church or you walked away from that word and you had a different perspective. You had a different vantage point. You know, the problem was still there, but it wasn't as big as it was before you got that word on it. That report was still there, but now you got a better report that says, you know what? I believe this report, and if I believe this report, I know his arm will be revealed in my life. And all of a sudden faith came and joy came and your mindset changed. You went from being victim-minded to victor-minded. You begin to realize, man, if God be for me, who can be against me? Well, I want you to know Jesus specializes in authoring faith, and you may feel broken, and you may feel like you're on the bottom, but Jesus specializes in authoring faith and pulling you up out of the gutter and pulling you up out of the valley by renewing your mind toward his promise. But this same God that authors your faith will also finish your faith. That means he doesn't just want to start something in you. He wants to finish something in you. Come on, somebody. He is the author and finisher of my faith. Say that out loud. He is the author and finisher of my faith. He's the beginning and the ending. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Come on, Word of God. He's the Aleph and he is the Tav. What he started, he will finish in me. That's why I can't get weary. That's why I can't give up. That's why I can't quit. See, the word that gives me hope at the beginning, biblical hope is expectation. I'm seeing this promise from God. I'm seeing this hope in his word come to fruition. I'm seeing it manifest in my life. And God says here, when you have that kind of expectation, he says, your expectation shall not be what, church? Cut off. He said, I'm not going to forget it. I'm not going to just cut off your expectation. I'll give you some scriptures to put in your notes. Jeremiah 29:11, God said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not evil. If you know it, say it with me. To give you an expected end. He's a God that sets up expectation because it is expectation that fuels our faith. If you come over one chapter to Proverbs 24, notice what he says in verse 14. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, glory to God, then there shall be a reward. Let's read that part out loud before we read the rest, starting at the beginning. Ready? Read. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward. Notice what he just said. You can translate wisdom for God's word because God's word is his wisdom. So I'm going to translate that verse with that language. So shall the knowledge of the word of God be to your soul when you have found it. Then there shall be a reward. What's God saying? He's saying, when you find my word, when you find my word, when you get my word, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by that word, then there's going to be a reward. Another word for reward is response or recompense. God is saying, when you get my word, you get me, and I'll always respond to my word. Isaiah 55:11, my word will not return unto me void. I'll always bring to pass what I said. So if you got my word on it, you got it. You got that thing, because my word will always come to pass. Hallelujah. He says that knowledge of his word, when we have found it, there will be a reward. Now notice what the last statement says. Read it. And thy expectation shall not be cut off. What's he saying? He's saying my word is setting you up. My word is telling you what to expect. And you better know there's a reward that comes with my word. Hallelujah. Come back with me to Psalms, the 62nd division. Come back with me to Psalms number 62. You're in Proverbs, so turn backwards to Psalms 62. And let's look at this down in verse number, well, we'll start in verse 1. Psalm 62. I'm going to go ahead and begin reading. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Read the next statement. I shall not be greatly moved. Watch verse 5. My soul. This is David talking to himself. How many of you know sometimes you got to talk to yourself? Especially if nobody around you is talking right. Somebody's got to talk right. He said, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Why? Read it. For my expectation is from him. He says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. What? I shall not be moved. See, that's biblical patience. Patience says, I'm sticking with his word. I'm sticking with his promise. I'm sticking with his will. No matter what it may look like, I will not be moved. The enemy may come and try to rock me, but having done all to stand, I'm going to stand there for. I'm not moving off this word, because I know that God will show up and do what he said he would do. Hallelujah. Now, there's a key word that we need to look at over in the New Testament. It's in Galatians chapter number 6, so turn over there. You read the sign when you came in, Word of God Ministries, so we're using the word. And go with me to the book of Galatians. You'll find the Gospels, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and then Galatians. And let's go to the 6th chapter, and I want to go to verse 9. What causes people to grow impatient? What causes individuals' faith to shipwreck? Why do people give up, cave in, and quit? What is the number one enemy to faith? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's time. Time. Look at your neighbor and say these words. Delay is not denial. The enemy loves to use time to rock our faith. We want to put God in our timetable. We'll tell the Lord he's got 3 days to do something. But I'm going to show you here and over these next few minutes that God's not moved by your timetable. No, he stands outside of time. Time does not govern God. He governs it. God did not come out of time. Time came out of God. God stands in the position of seeing past, present, and future all in the same glimpse. He is not moved by time. Now watch what Galatians 6:9 says. This is so important for you and I to get a hold of. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Read the rest. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap in due season if we faint not. That means if you faint, you won't reap in due season. That means the enemy wants you to faint. What does the word faint mean? It literally means give up, cave in, or quit. So the enemy wants you to give up, cave in, and quit. Why? Because he doesn't want you to see or anybody else to see this word manifest in your life. So he uses time to say, it's too late. It's not working. Give up. Try something else. That's why there's so much power in expectation and establishing that my expectation is in that God will do what he said he would do. I'm not going to be moved by time. I won't be moved by delay. I'm telling you, church, I've seen this all my ministry life. The closer, the more, let me say it like this, the more intense the trial, the closer you are to the glory. The more intense the trial, the closer you are to the glory or the manifestation of God in that area of your life. Listen, there's something on the other side of quit. And if you give up, cave in, and quit, faint, you will miss your due season. You will miss that thing that may have been right there at the doors. The book of Ecclesiastes, put this in your notes, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse number 1, beginning in verse number 1, says this. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. That means when God gives you his word, there is a time stamp that is put on that word when that word is going to manifest in your life. There is a time stamp. As a matter of fact, in Ecclesiastes 3, beginning in verse 1, he lists like 27 things that there's a time to do. And not one time does he say there is a time to quit. There's no time for quitting. I have to recognize that with God, there's always an appointed time and there's always a due season. Hallelujah. With God, there is a season. With God, there is an appointed time. There is an appointed time. Now, do me this favor. Go to the book of the table of contents. It's inspired by the Holy Ghost. It's at the beginning of your Bibles. And find where Habakkuk is. Look up the page number and then go there. And I want you to turn to the second chapter of the book of Habakkuk. And I need you to get there, and I need you to see it, so don't be ashamed to use the table of contents. It was put there by the wisdom of God. Let's go with me. Go with me now to the second chapter of Habakkuk. God is not moved by time, but the enemy will use it to move you. Lord, I got 3 days. And Jesus, if you are who you say you are, I need you to show up in 3 days. No, he's going to show up when he can get the most glory. And even if the time that you allotted him has expired, he will allow that just so he can get more glory. In the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, there's a story of a man by the name of Lazarus who was dear friends with Jesus, who got real sick and died. And so Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, sent word to Jesus. They said, Jesus, your friend Lazarus is at the point of death. We need you to get back here or he's gonna die. So Jesus sent back word. And this is what he said. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God. And he stayed where he was in a city called Bethany 2 more days. Well, after 2 days, which would make 4, he showed up in Bethany. He showed up at Lazarus' home. And Mary came running out to meet him down the driveway. And she said, Lord, had you been here, Lazarus would not have died. He looked back at her and he said, said I not unto thee? Said I not unto thee? What he was saying was, do you recall what I said when I got the report? Don't you know I always have what I said? And didn't I say from the very beginning that I am the resurrection and the life? And if you believe in me, though you be dead, yet shall you live? Didn't I say if you would believe my words, you would see the glory of God? So he moved on toward the house. Then Mary came out in the house, and she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Two sisters said the exact same thing when they weren't even in front of each other. That tells me that's what was being said in the house before Jesus showed up, because when the one sister ran down the driveway and said, Lord, had you been here, he would not have died, she was just rehearsing what had already been said in the house. And so Jesus came in the house and the other sister said the same thing. That tells me that's what they were saying that whole time. Where is Jesus? Had he been here, Lazarus would not have died. Time has run out. And he said the same thing to her. He said, take me to where you've laid him. They said, Lord, it's been 4 days now. You're too late. By now his body stinks. He said, take me to the tomb. Jesus went to the tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And that dead man came out walking. Come on, somebody. Now here's what you may not recognize about that story, is that Jesus indeed got what he said. But he got it in a time frame where he received the most glory. Because in that day and in that culture, there was the belief that when a man died, he had 3 days before he was truly dead. They would weep at the report of death, and then they would go into lamentations after 3 days. That's why Jesus had to be in the tomb for 3 days and three nights and then come out of the tomb. If Jesus had come out of the tomb before 3 days and three nights, they would have said he's not really dead, because they had the belief that you weren't dead till after 3 days. So Jesus finds out Lazarus is sick and he's going to die. And Jesus said, let me wait right where I'm at 2 more days, and then showed up on the fourth day. And it would look like, Jesus, you waited too long. No. Jesus knew if he'd have showed up on the second day, folk would have said, well, he wasn't really dead. So Jesus showed up when he knew that the report was he's dead, therefore he got the most glory. Let me say a word to you. You may be in a situation right now you think has expired. You think it's too late for the Lord to raise that marriage. You may think it's too late for the Lord to change that situation in your life. He specializes in raising up what other folk have already deemed dead. Listen, don't you ever give up on God, because he will never not fulfill what he said. He may not show up when you want him to, but he's always right on time. And his time frame is always when he will get the most glory. So get God out of your timetable. Lord, you got 3 days. I mean, look, who will we tell God he's got 3 days? Now watch this in Habakkuk chapter 2, if you're there, say amen. Let's start here in verse number 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. And church, when you receive God's word on your life, your future, his kingdom, your marriage, your children, his will, write it down. Write the vision. If you have a vision for your life, write that vision down. But like I told you last week, don't just be saying, I hope so. You need to have scripture. You need to have the promise of God attached to the vision you have for your life. Whether you got a journal, whether you're writing in a notebook, or whether you've got your bulletin board, or chalkboard, or stick-em notes, or sheets of paper hung up in your prayer room, you need to have the word and the promise of God written down over your life. Look back to it. Look to it. Stand on it. Watch this. He said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables or tablets, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision, help me, is yet for an appointed time. See, when you receive that hope, when you receive that vision, you have to know it's for an appointed time. In other words, God's got a time stamp on it. And only he knows when it's going to come to pass. It's not my job to know when it's going to come to pass. It's my job to operate by faith. It's my job to apply patience to my faith, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. It's so important that you have your vision written down, because the enemy would love for you to compromise in your vision.
To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.